Take your Bibles, we'll open to Joshua chapter number 24. Probably a very familiar portion of Scripture. Probably one of the verses we're going to look at tonight is probably one of the verses I would say maybe the majority of Christians have this verse or a section of this verse hanging in their home. One of the most popular verses to hang within the home and things. And we'll take a little look at that a bit this evening. It's a good book, isn't it? Sure love the Bible. Thankful for the good day, the good food that we've had. I'm telling you, we did eat. I think sometimes they feed you a lot thinking you'll preach shorter or hoping you'll preach shorter. But it takes me twice as long now because I got to stop and breathe. And so it may backfire on you. I don't know. Joshua chapter 24, we're going to begin in verse number 1. And when you find it, I ask you to stand with us if you're able to and are willing. If you're not able to stand, that's fine. You can remain seated. No one will think any different. But if you are able and willing to stand, give you an opportunity to stretch before the three-hour message tonight. All right. Get the blood circulating. Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelled in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you in the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But it would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege that's ours to be in your house tonight. And God, thank you again for the fellowship we've enjoyed throughout the day. Dear God, the good singing we've been able to participate in tonight and the good singing we've been able to hear tonight as well. And Father, we pray now that you'd help us during the preaching time. We pray you give us liberty and clarity of thought and scripture recall, illustrations, anything that might be a help tonight. And God, again, we ask you that we might sense your warm breath upon our soul tonight. And God, help us as we bring across this simple truth. But yet, dear God, what a powerful thought at the same time. And God, this thing of living for you, we really do try to complicate it sometimes. It really is just a simple thing. And Father, you've said your commandments are not grievous. And you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us tonight as we get this truth across. And might your people listen on purpose. And, Father, we pray if there's any here don't know you, Savior. God, never been born again. I pray this be the day you convict their heart. And God, they turn from sin and trust your finished work on Calvary. Maybe some been saved, drifted from you. I pray you call them home tonight and back to you. And, Father, we just pray you'd speak to all of our hearts. And I pray, once again, this be a life-changing day for somebody. And we'll certainly give you the praise for all that you do. God, help us. We certainly want to be a blessing and a help to this dear man of God and his family. And and God, to the church folk you've given to them. And God, we thank you for the pastors that are visiting the service tonight. And we know that their time is precious, and thank you that they would take of time to come tonight. And God, I pray that you'd give them something that they need within their soul as well. And God, we just pray, meet with us. Do that work only you can. And I promise we'll take time yet tonight and give you the praise for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. Book of Joshua. We've got Joshua at the end of his life, and he's gathering the children of Israel together. The Bible said he called together all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for the heads of the judges and their officers. And they all come and presented themselves before God. And then Joshua kind of gave them a history lesson, and he just kind of went over how good God had been to them. He went back to the day that when he talked about they were on the other side of the flood, and he said they served other gods. He goes back to when they didn't know God, and they were lost, and how God called Abram out of that. He goes back, if you were, it's almost like the picture of our salvation. We were lost, and God called us and spoke to us, and we come to know him. And then he began to talk about the journey through there, how God led them here, and how God did this, and how God blessed them here. And they got a land that they didn't labor for, and cities they didn't build, and they dwell them in the vineyards they didn't plant, and olive yards they're eating out of them. And he just reminded them of how good God has been to them. By the way, God has been good to us. And there's some days, I always say God always is always good. There's some days I notice it more than other days, but he's always good. And he's just reminded them how good God has been to them. And we could go around the room tonight. God has definitely been good to us, has he not? I go back the day that I got saved. What a great day that was. What he's done in my heart and my home and in my life. And we could give testimony over and over of how God has met needs and God has supplied and how God has protected. Matter of fact, I tell my wife a lot of times, you know, when we're traveling somewhere and I'll miss a turn. And when I miss a turn, and she says, you know, you missed the turn back there. And of course, the GPS says the same thing. You know, it says, turn here. Then it'll say, recalculate. And then turn here, and you keep going, recalculating. Turn here, recalculating. About the fourth time, it says, you're a man, aren't you? But my wife, she'll say, you missed the turn. I said, yeah. I said, you know what it is? It's God protecting us. Might have been in a bad accident had we gone there, and God's protecting us. And she said the other day, you know, it's amazing, the older you get, how more often God protects us in our journeys and travels. And so he's just a good God. That's all I got to say. But he is good to us, and we give testimony all around the room. And Joshua's kind of reminded them of all the good things. I almost picture it. This is the end of Joshua's life. Matter of fact, by the end of this chapter, it tells us he's 110 years old. And just a few verses after our reading, Joshua dies. This is the last thing that he does that is recorded in his life. He gathers them together, and I almost picture it as a daddy. I could picture myself, maybe if I knew that my life was coming to an end, I'd want to gather my children together. I'd want to gather my grandchildren together. And I kind of would want to rehearse to them again, though they've heard it over and over. I'd want to rehearse to them of the day that Jesus saved me and the difference he made in our home and in our life and how good God has been to us, and to challenge them and encourage them, stay faithful to God and serve God. My oldest daughter wasn't saved when she was born, and my wife and I, of course, you know the story, we got separated, and then God got saved and God put her home back together and blessed us with five more children after that, and three boys and three girls. And our first 18 grandchildren were 9 boys and 9 girls. It's like somebody said, it's like a Baptist preacher just won't take a stand either way, you know. And then the girls just kind of outran the boys after that on the grandchildren. But he blesses with the children. And I remember when I got saved then, and my wife would give me my first Bible, and we had prayed even before that God would give us a son and that he'd be a preacher. And that October, our son Tom was born, and we never told him that we prayed he'd be a preacher until after he was already pastoring and even in the ministry. And things, but I remember when my children were born, I get a new Bible about every 3 years. We wear them out and get a new Bible about every 3 years. And so when my boys were born, I was using a different Bible when each one of them were born. And they were all King James. I'm just using a different Bible when they were born. But when they turned 18 years of age, I would call them up and in front of the church, and I would pull out the Bible that I was reading from, the Bible that I preached from when they were born. When they were 18 years of age, I'd take that Bible and I'd present it to them. And, of course, it wore out and all kinds of notes. I used to keep all my notes in the, I always had a wide margin, would keep all my notes in the margin. And, and all my the preaching notes and everything on that line. And then, of course, it wears out. You got to get another one. Then you got to transfer all those notes. And so it was a wonderful day when computers come along and you're able to just have things in there and print it out. You don't have to write anything. But I kind of miss that a little bit, too, as far as handing them down. I'm handing down now Bibles to my daughters. They've been asking. And so after I use one, I pass it to my daughter as well. And but each of them boys will turn 18. I said, this is the Bible that Daddy was preaching from when you got when you were born. This is the Bible I held up on you in front of you that day you were born. I said, this is the Word of God. This is the Bible when I held you and gave you the gospel the day that you were first born. I told you the gospel would change your life. And this is the Bible we had our devotions from when you were first born. This is the Bible we read to you. And this is the Bible that I would preach from. And I'd present it to them when I turned 18 years of age and kind of give them a challenge to stay true to the Word of God and stay true to the God of the Word. My boys, three sons are all preachers. And every so often they'll call me and say, Dad, just want you to know I pulled out that old Bible today and I preached from it this morning. And I'll probably get the call Father's Day coming up. And I usually get the call after Father's Day, Dad, pull out your Bible and open it up and preach from your Bible today. And that's just a blessing. But I could imagine gathering my family together if the old time comes and gathering together and just try to encourage them. You know, stay faithful to God and serve Him. He's been a good God. And don't turn your back on Him. And that's kind of what Joshua's doing. He said, God has been awful good to you. And then down in verse number 14, he says, now therefore, because of this, remembering how good God has been to you, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt and serve ye the Lord. And so he gathers them together and he reminds them, God has been good to you. God has blessed you. God has taken care of you and He's answered prayers and He's always showed up on time and He's been a good God to you. He says, now therefore, because of this, fear Him and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. I like those two words. And that thing, serve Him in sincerity, means be real. And this Christianity, this is not something we do, this is who we are. Somebody that we oftentimes are asked to preach at, you know, couples retreats or sometimes on the home and different things. And a lot of times it's because our children are serving the Lord. And so they'll kind of say, you know, what's the key and all this? To be honest with you, I don't know. As a first generation Christian, truth of the matter is, preacher, if I could go back, there's a lot of things I'd have done different in raising my children. But one thing we did try to be was real. It said, serve in sincerity and in truth. Be right about what you do. You'll stick to the book and things of that matter. And he says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And then he goes on and makes a statement in verse number 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. That word evil, it means this. Somebody said, well, it's not evil to serve the Lord. But it's this. Evil is what you would call anything that you think is not good. If you don't think it's good that you really serve Him. This word also carries the meaning of being inconvenient. If you think it's inconvenient to serve the Lord, it carries the meaning of being unjust, unreasonable. If you think God is asking too much of you to serve Him. And the sad thing is that it appears there's a lot of Christians feel that way. You know, the preachers spend most of their time trying to encourage God's people to be faithful. And it's almost like it's just not a good thing to God's people. It's inconvenient. It interferes with our plans. We've got other things that we want to do in life, and it interferes. I can't give Him everything. It just interferes with my plans. It's inconvenient for me. It's unjust. It's unreasonable. Preacher, you're just asking too much. And so Joshua said, it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, that serve you this day whom you will serve. And he lays out some options and he instructs them to choose this day. And he makes this famous speech, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Probably a good number. Matter of fact, who in this room, you've got at least a portion. It may be choose you this day whom you will serve. It may be as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Anybody have that hanging within their house? All right, we've got several. Probably one of the most popular verses hanging on the walls of Baptist, of Christian folk and Baptist folk. And I think the next probably most famous scripture hanging on the wall is probably Malachi, when a man robbed God and yet you robbed me in tithes and offerings. No, wait a minute. No, I don't think I've ever seen that on anybody's wall. But it is just as much scripture as the rest of it. But we've got this verse, probably the most popular verses on the wall, and he instructs them to choose this day whom they will serve. And you know, I think a lot of times, as again, as we read through these verses that we're familiar with, if we're not careful, we just kind of skim over it. And we've heard that, we've seen it in all the stores, we've seen it on all the signs, we've got it hanging within our house. And he instructs them this day, choose you this day whom they will serve. And I think we've really missed Joshua's message. We put the emphasis on the importance of choosing now. The urgency. And certainly, if you're here today and you're not saved, there is an urgency that you get saved quick. Because hell's real, and you don't know how much time you've got. There's an urgency. If you're not right with God, you ought to get right now. And if you need to make a decision, there's an urgency to make it now. Choose you this day. The term this day is found 323 times in the Bible. Choose you this day. And I want to speak on the subject for the next several hours on, did you choose this day to serve the Lord? The text is not merely instructing the people to make a choice on this day, but to make a choice for this day. Who are you going to serve today? Joshua's an old man. He's 110. He's about to die. This is his last recorded act found in the Bible. He's not just now coming to the place that he's deciding to serve the Lord. It's a choice he made every day. And the problem is sometimes people make a choice on one day, but if we don't make that choice every day, it won't be long. We've forgotten we've even made that decision in our life. There's a difference between saying, I chose today that I'm going to serve the Lord, or saying, I chose to serve the Lord today. It's not just a decision I made on this day, but a decision I made for this day. Between the day I was born again and the day that I go to be with the Lord in heaven, and I'm looking for him to call about. We're kind of kids sometimes. We talk about, you know, that sometimes we say, even as John, even so come, Lord Jesus. And of course, my children will say things like, well, that's easy for you guys to say that are already standing at the door. You know, some of us would like to live a little bit before he comes back. He said, man, you already got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. Surely you're ready for him to come on that line. But if I were to die, first of all, if you heard I died, don't believe it. I'll be more amongst the living than I've ever been. But my daughters, a lot, they'll get together a lot of times and they'll hear a song and they're always saying, boy, that'd be a good song to play at Dad's funeral. And they're always planning my funeral. That'd be a good song to play at Dad's funeral. I'd say, I'm right here, you know. That'd be a good song at Dad's funeral. And I said, you know, would it be okay with you if I lived? Would that be all right? And then my wife, she made the statement, you've already picked out 47 songs for Dad's funeral. The funeral's going to last forever. Are you in a hurry? I mean, you got a date? What? You know, you got somewhere to go? But between the day that I was born again and the day that I go to heaven, there are several 24-hour periods. The day I had today is a day I'll never get back again. It's 24 hours that will be spent. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. And it may be that one day I chose to serve the Lord, but if I don't choose to serve him on this day, it won't be long. Many Christians fail in their walk with God because they do not choose to walk with him every day. Paul said, I die daily. Backsliding doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow process. And it's because we failed to choose each day to serve him. I chose to serve the Lord one day. I mean, he spoke to my heart. I come, okay, God, I'm going to serve you. I chose that one day. But if I don't choose that every day, then I'm going to fail. I'm 24 hours away from messing it all up. That's all it would take. If it seems evil to you, I mean, what are you, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, basically Joshua said, What are you going to do with this day? If you're not going to use this day serving him, what are you going to do with this day? And he lays out those three choices that can be made. And matter of fact, look at verse number 14. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if you think God is asking too much, that you give him everything, if you think it's unreasonable, if it's inconvenient for you, and his plans get in the way of your plans, then choose you this day whom you will serve. And he lays out choices. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood. Now he's referring back to the first few verses he talked about in this chapter when they were on the other side of the flood before God called them out. He's talking about before they ever knew God. He said, all right, if you're not going to serve God today, what are you going to do with your life? You just going to live like a lost man? Are you just going to go through the day like God doesn't exist? Never open your Bible, never consider God's plan and God's will. Are you just going to live your life like a lost man lives his life with no thoughts at all regarding God? Are you going to spend the whole day without ever giving God a thought? He gives another choice. Or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. When they come in to take that land, God told them not to intermarry with the people and mingle with them. This is kind of a picture of the person that wants to be half in and half out. It's a person that is going to come to church and knows how to act when they're at church, and yet they get on the outside. They know how to act along with the world. I mean, he said, that's what you're going to be? You're just going to be a half-hearted Christian, just half in? I mean, what are you going to do with the day? If it seems that God is asking too much that you take the day to serve him, what are you going to? Are you just going to live like a lost man? Are you just going to be a half-hearted Christian? What are you going to do with the day? But he says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve him. Yeah, we will serve the Lord. They responded, verse number 16, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. So they say to Joshua, no, that's what we're going to do. We are going to serve the Lord. And then Joshua responds, verse number 19. Matter of fact, they said, you're right. He has been good to us, and we're going to serve him. Verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. For he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. For if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done ye good. Here's what Joshua said. No, he said, this isn't some flippant thing that you just say. Yeah, God's been good to me and I'm going to serve. No. He wants somebody that's going to be sincere about this, and somebody that's going to serve him in sincerity and in truth. He wants somebody that's going to make a real commitment that, no, I am going to serve the Lord on this day. It's not something I'm just going to say. How many times we come to an altar and said things, and he said, no, that's not what I'm looking for. Every one of us would say, yes, God's been good. Every one of us would say, yeah, we ought to serve. But Joshua said, no, I want somebody that's going to be sincere about this and serious about this, that when they wake up tomorrow morning, they're going to say about that day, I choose this day to serve the Lord. This is going to be a day I'm going to serve him for this 24-hour period. Yeah. So he said, you can't do it. They responded, and verse number 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. From there, Joshua lays out the choice of serving him today involves five things. You see, every morning when I wake up, the first words out of my mouth are, Lord, I choose this day to serve you. This 24-hour period that you're giving to me, I choose this day to serve you. Not just to make a choice on this day, but a choice for this day. I'm going to serve you today. I don't want to live like a lost man today. I don't want to be half-hearted today. I choose this day to serve you. Five things involved in this. Verse number 22. Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Number one is this, it's a day of purpose. There's a purpose on this day, and that is to serve him. Daniel purposed in his heart, remember that? And then everything Daniel did after that was on purpose because of what he had purposed. So when I wake up in the morning and say, I choose this day to serve you, I have purposed to serve you, then everything I do after that ought to be on purpose because of what I have purposed. That this is a day to serve him. So it's a day of purpose, to purpose and to serve him. Verse number 23. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. Number two, it's a day of purity. I chose to serve him today. It means there's some things I can't do today because I chose this day to serve him. No, I can't look at things on the internet today because I chose this day to serve him. So I can't do that today because this is the day I've chosen to serve him. I can't do that today. I can't have thoughts in a wrong direction toward another woman today. I can't do that today because I chose this day to serve him. I can't have a glass of beer today. You say, well, you're a preacher. You tempted to have beer? I pastor people. No, I didn't used to want to drink. No, but I can't have one today because I chose this day to serve him. I can't light up a cigarette today. Not today I can't. No, because I chose this day to serve. No. On this 24-hour day, I can't do that because I chose this day to serve him. So I've got to put away the strange gods. I can't do that today. There's some places I can't go today. There's some things I can't watch today. There's some words I can't say today. I can't lose my temper toward my wife today. I can't today because I chose this day to serve him. So I got to put away. This has got to be a day of purity. There's some things I cannot allow in my life today because I chose this day to serve him. And he goes on to say, look with me if you would. Verse 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. This is also a day of prospering. You say, what do you mean? It's a day of growing in my Christian life. Inclining my heart towards God. That means my heart being drawn closer to God. That means on this day, it's a day I'm going to read my Bible. Because I chose this day to serve the Lord, and I want my heart to be drawn closer to God today. That means on this day, I'm going to spend some time in prayer. I chose this day to serve the Lord, and I want to incline my heart toward him. I want my heart to be drawn closer to God on this day. That means on this day, I'm going to let God speak to my heart. On this day, I want to be drawn closer to him. Not just reading the Bible out of habit, but I want God to speak to my heart and not just praying out of habit. I want to meet with God. I want my heart to be drawn closer to him. Amen. Yeah. It's a day of prospering in my Christian life, purposefully drawing my heart closer to God. Verse 24. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Could I say fourthly, it's a day of performing. We're going to obey his voice. We're going to serve him. It's going to be a day of doing what God asked me to do. God speaks to my heart, I'm going to obey it. If I chose this day to serve the Lord, God speaks to my heart, I'm going to obey. That means on this day, I can pass out a tract to somebody. On this day, I ought to witness to somebody. On this day, I ought to invite somebody to church. Why? Because this is a day of performing. This is a day of obeying his voice. On this day, I want to come to the house of God, and when God speaks to my heart, I want to obey him. I don't want to be hard-hearted. No, I chose this day to serve him. So if he speaks to my heart, I'm coming to an altar on this day because I chose this day to serve him. This is the day that I want to obey his voice. When God speaks, I want to obey what he says on this day. Yeah, it's a day of performing. And could I say fifthly, it's a day of preparation. So what do you mean? Verse 25, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak. It was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone should be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It should be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. He made a covenant with them. They bound together, and he made a statute, which means a set time. We chose this day to serve the Lord, and an ordinance, which means this ought to become a custom or a habit. It's a day of preparation, which means this. At the end of the day, when we put our head on our pillow tonight, we ought to look to heaven and say something like this. God, this sure was a good day. Help me to make this choice again tomorrow. That when I wake up in the morning, I choose this day to serve the Lord. You know, it really is not. People say sometimes, well, I just don't know if I can hold on. I don't know if I can do this that long. It's not a matter of doing it that long. It's just choosing this day to serve Him. And when the morning comes tomorrow, you choose that day to serve Him. And before you know it, a day has turned into a week. And I've read my Bible for a week. I've not had a cigarette for a week. I've not cussed anybody that didn't need it for a week. Some of them just need it, you know. I'm kidding. I mean, I wouldn't say the words, but you write them down, I'll sign my name to them. You know, some of them. Before you know it, a week turns into a month. Before you know it, a month turns into a year. Before you know it, a year turns into 2 years. Somebody said, I never thought I could do this for a year. Well, you didn't set a goal to do it a year. You just chose this day to serve Him. And at the end of the day, you just prepare to do it again the next day. And look at verse number 28. So Joshua let the people depart. Every man to his own inheritance. It came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of inheritance of Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord. Notice these three words. All the days. Yeah. All the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. You know what it was? Just day by day. You're really in a tough thing. Preacher, I don't know if I can do it. No, just when you get up in the morning, just say, Lord, I choose this day to serve you. You ought to, if you've got that verse on your wall, choose you this day whom you'll serve. You don't necessarily need to mark it up, but I know one guy that just put it on his bathroom mirror said, I chose this day to serve the Lord. Yeah. Just to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I choose this day to serve you. So there's some things I can't do today. Not today, because I chose to serve. And if we mess up, don't throw the day away. Just stop, say, dear God, I'm sorry. I chose this day to serve you, and I messed up. Forgive me. Help me to spend the rest of the day serving you. Yeah. It's really not difficult. It's just a day by day. We've taken that verse, choose you this day, and we've got people come. I'm choosing to serve the Lord, and pretty soon, I mean, they make a decision at the altar, and they meet it, but it's a choice they made on one day. But if it's not a choice you make for that day, we're going to mess up. Yeah. Did you choose this day to serve? Now, you think he's asking too much of you? I know this. If I get up on Sunday morning and say, dear God, I choose this day to serve you, I know I'm going to be church time. If I wake up Wednesday night and say, I choose this day to serve you, I know where I'm going to be church time. Did you choose this day? And if you think it's unreasonable, if you think he's asking too much, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with tomorrow? You just going to go through it like God doesn't exist? You're just going to be half in, half out? Joshua said, you do what you want. If you think he's asking too much, then what are you going to do with your life? But as for me and my house, we're going to serve him. Father, again, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your Bible. What a book. So I know I say it a lot. I just don't know what to say about it. Just an amazing, amazing book. It sure convicts my heart. It feeds my soul. Thank you for it. And God, it sure has made life a lot easier. Just realizing I don't have to make a long term. It's just getting up in the morning and choosing you to serve you on this day. Dear God, the days turn into weeks, and the weeks to months, and the months to years. It's sure been a good life. And dear God, don't let me take that one day pass without choosing first thing in the morning to serve you, because dear God, I'd sure make a mess of things. And I think many times, dear God, even people that served you for a lot of years, they end up messing up. All it takes is just one day one day they did not choose to serve you. Help it to be the first thing on our hearts. I pray you bless these people. Maybe some just struggled with some things and they think there's no way they can have victory or no way they can live their life. And dear God, might they realize they don't have to look long-term down the road. They don't have to figure out how they're going to do it. Just choose to serve you tomorrow. And when that day passes, choose to serve you the next day. And just amazing how the days turn into weeks and weeks to months and months to years. Bless your people today. And we'll sort of give you the praise for all that you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Hits to about for just a moment.